Well, I know as parents, probably grandparents too, a lot of you like to read stories to your children or grandchildren. So in Hannah Hanard's classic allegory, which she titled Hinds Feet on High Places, there's a character called Little Much Afraid. And Much Afraid leaves her home in the valley to journey to the high places. At the invitation of the great shepherd. And it's going to be in the high places where she would finally be delivered from all of her fears. Her crooked feet were going to be made straight, and she would be transformed into grace and glory. As she travels, she passes through lonely meadows and filled with flowers and over paths where she must climb and clamber over sharp rocks and uphill and downhill and through the wilderness. And just when she thinks she might finally begin to make the final ascent to the high places, her path turns down or suddenly goes in a different and opposite direction. Now, for much of the way, our heroine also travels hand in hand with two faithful companions, sorrow and suffering. And in spite of their woeful names, they prove a great help and comfort to her, and especially in times of great need. So Much Afraid also, though, calls upon the shepherd. And each time he arrives to reassure her and steady her feet, he leads her onward. And after all, it's because the shepherd knows every step of her way, and he has added benefit of his own experience. For the shepherd, you see, had also traveled a road with rough terrain and unexpected turns. Well, one unexpected turn came to Jesus, our shepherd, as he was about to begin his earthly ministry. At his baptism, the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God descended on him, and there was a voice that came from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And so you would think, after such a dramatic introduction, we might imagine Jesus' next step to go out preaching, addressing the crowds, trying to get together a group that would get on Super Bowl Sunday, and that maybe he would start walking on water or performing miracles or doing all kinds of things. And here he has heaven's endorsement, so he could probably quickly move to build his mission platform and reinforce his personal brand, kind of like we say today, right? But instead of using his baptism to remain in the public eye, instead of trying to capitalize on this heavenly voice and gain influence among people, Jesus follows the Spirit's leading into the wilderness. Away from the crowds, he moved into a time of solitude, away from public acclaim and notoriety, and the relative safety of being a part of a group. He was tempted and tried by the devil. So the road for Jesus took this unexpected turn, away from immediately growing his ministry to spending time in the wilderness. Now, like Much Afraid, Jesus himself, We find ourselves also on unexpected roads. The Spirit may lead us into the opposite direction of where we would want to go, where we thought our dreams or our fervent hopes were going to take us. And our promising beginnings, maybe they fall flat, or all those careful plans that we made suddenly dissolve in front of us. And we may find ourselves, too, in unfamiliar places, in a place of wilderness. And it's at those kinds of times that we might find that we're disappointed, discouraged, afraid, tempted to give up, lost in the wilderness, wanting desperately to get out. But where's the way forward? How do we find it? Well, in the wilderness, Jesus confronted three temptations, and each time he responded with words of Scripture. "Turn these stones into bread," the devil said, and Jesus replied, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." "Well, throw yourself down from the temple and let God save you," the devil said. And Jesus replied, "Again it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Finally, the devil said, "Well, worship me and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus replied, "Get away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You know, when my life takes on an unexpected turn, I usually find myself in the wilderness of temptation and trial and difficulty. And I find at that time there's a great strength in the words of Scripture. You know, I remind myself, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. Richard, you are mine." Or, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. It is written, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Now I have to confess to you that the words of Scripture do not always come that easily to me as they did to Jesus. Yes, some do. I'm very thankful for my Sunday school teachers and sitting in having to memorize Bible passages in my father's confirmation class. That's not always the fun thing for a preacher's kid to do. Other times I'm going to use my resources and search through Bible dictionaries and commentaries and other kinds of things, because in times of wilderness, it's important to turn to the Scriptures as Jesus did. You know, later in the Gospels, the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to try to test Jesus by asking him for another sign, but he's not going to give it. And when told that his disciples, or when Jesus told his disciples about his own coming death and resurrection, they protested that something like that should never happen. And that was another test and resolve that Jesus answered in the strongest terms when he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And even as Jesus hung on the cross, people harangued him and taunted him. "Well, you who could destroy the temple in 3 days, come down from the cross. Prove to us that you are the Son of God." And so just as Jesus had faced the temptation in the wilderness, he faced temptation and trial throughout his ministry. And it wasn't always by quoting Scripture, but it was grounded in his identity, in his mission, in his dependence on God. That's why he refused to give the scribes and Pharisees an extra sign. His life, his ministry were already signs for those who had eyes to see. And so his sense of mission led him to rebuke Peter and to submit to a death on the cross for us, because he knew who he was and where it was that he was going. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them, the Bible says, to the very end. You know, as Jesus withstood temptation, I'm struck by the fact that he was all alone. He was alone in the wilderness with Satan. He was alone when the angels came to nurse and to take care of him. He was alone when he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. He was alone in the garden when he struggled in prayer. while his disciples fell prey to temptation and fell asleep? At least much afraid, had sorrow and suffering to keep her company and help her on the way. And we are fortunate that we have fellow travelers with us, brothers and sisters of God, who can help us carry the load. And as much afraid then continues her journey to the high places, she has faith in the shepherd and his promise to protect and guide her, even when the way to go seems in the opposite direction. In spite of her doubts and fears, she continues on the way with Jesus. And in the end, her mission is accomplished. She reaches the high places and she receives her new name, Grace and Glory. And sorrow and sadness, suffering also receive their names. It's turned to joy and peace. And through all the adventures and misadventures, the Good Shepherd has remained her consolation and best friend. For us in the church, today is called the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a time of year when Christians take a look at their spirituality, their relationship with God. It's a time of reflection. And we're to ask ourselves, which way are we going? How are we traveling in life? And the season of Lent lasts 40 days until Easter. And it's just a time for us to look and to reflect on what God is doing for us, and maybe what kind of life we're living or we need to live. There's a city in Germany, Augsburg, which recently has done something rather novel. They have embedded traffic lights in the pavement at intersections. This is because so many pedestrians are looking down at their electronic devices as they're walking along that they are walking into the intersections, and it's become a really dangerous thing. And so the city fathers did this to create a whole new level of attention. And the Chinese city of Chongqing made headlines when it experimented with a 165-foot wide pavement where pedestrians had to choose between walking in the normal lane or walking in a lane which was reserved for what they called zombies. A zombie is a cross between the word for smartphone and zombie. All right, so it described people who are staring at their smartphones rather than paying attention to their surroundings. In the United States, it's also reported that 1 out of 3 people are busy texting or working on their smartphones at dangerous intersections. So I sort of surmise that during Lent, we're going to have to decide, are we going to be a zombie or are we going to be spiritually awake? We're going to have to decide if we're going to be looking down or looking up. We're going to have to decide whether we are going to make a whole new level of attention. Are we going to make a decision? Which lane of life are we going to be walking in? Because that's really the way it is in our life. You know, on unexpected pathways and in the wilderness of trials and temptations, we have a God that we can look toward, whom we can trust. Inspiration and comfort come through the words of Scripture, from faithful companions and people who travel with us in our relationship of trust with the Good Shepherd and guardian of our souls. And it's then that we can be led out of the wilderness, out of the valley, to God's grace and glory, to God's joy and peace. Will you pray with me? Great Shepherd and Guardian, We give thanks for your example in the wilderness, meeting trial and temptation with faith, perseverance, scripture, and wisdom. When life takes on an unexpected turn, grant us faith. Keep us close to you. In times of temptation, give us courage and perseverance to do what is right. Make us wise to search the scriptures and in all things to call on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.